Hello and happy Friday. Welcome to Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you up to date before the weekend. Today, a Central Pennsylvania lawmaker weighs in on the Department of Education. A special election next week will decide who controls the State House. And make your weekend plans with Haley's Happy Hour. It's finally Friday, March 21st. Let's get into it. First, we're looking ahead to next week, when a special election in southwestern Pennsylvania will decide which party controls the State House, months after the death of former House member Matt Gergely. As Tom Reese reports for WVIA, the 35th District heavily favors Democrats.
The Mon Valley District is centered on McKeesport. Democrat Dan Gogener is a McKeesport police officer, serves on the community's school board, and his campaign has gotten support and attention from national Democrats. He's facing Republican Chuck Davis, a fire chief and president of White Oak Borough Council. Libertarian Adam Kitta will also be on the ballot. Gogener told WESA that if elected, he'd vote to increase public school funding and find ways to attract new first responders. Davis said he'd push for state police assistance for local departments to, quote, clean up our communities. The Republican also wants tax abatements and long-term incentives to bring businesses to the region. The election is Tuesday, March 25th. Reporting from Harrisburg, I'm Tom Reese.
Thanks, Tom, for that report. Now, in some local election news, Scranton will have one fewer candidate for mayor. As a judge ruled on Thursday, Bob Bolus cannot run for the office. His 1991 and 2012 felony convictions make him ineligible. Lackawanna County Judge Terrence Nealon ruled on a petition by Republican City resident Charlie Spano. The primary election is May 20th, with two Democrats, including Scranton Mayor Paige Cognetti, and two Republicans on the ballot. Two others are running as third-party candidates, but not in the primary. Also on Thursday, President Trump signed an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. Earlier in the day, U.S. Representative Glenn Thompson shared his thoughts on the anticipated move at a legislative breakfast in State College. Thompson is a Republican who represents a large portion of Central Pennsylvania. Sydney Roach reports for WVIA.
At the breakfast, Thompson said he was, quote, anxious to read the plan.
I believe, I'm very passionate about education, it is a pathway to opportunity. And the most important thing is how can we produce better results?
Thompson said since the Department of Education was formed in 1979, the cost of education per student has grown without results.
Well, today we're somewhere north of $16,000 per youth, and we are nowhere near the top of the list in terms of education. So something has gone awry here.
According to the latest Program for International Student Assessment, the United States ranks average or above average in math, reading, science, and financial literacy. Dismantling the U.S. Department of Education would likely require congressional approval. In State College, I'm Sydney Roach.
More up to date after this break.
We report to you. This is Roger Dupuy at WVIA News. Every day, we strive to bring you stories from around northeastern and central Pennsylvania that you won't find anywhere else. Find us on air and online at WVIA.org.
Welcome back to Up to Date. So if you listen to WVIA Radio on Fridays, you've probably heard this before. Every week, WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella highlights the work of nonprofit organizations all over Northeast and Central Pennsylvania. Let's see where she is this week.
Our Community Connection introduces you to Rose Williams of Central Pennsylvania, who had an idea that would help her community get ahead.
We are multi-phased, long-term, at least 40-week program. And the first phase, we follow a curriculum, and that curriculum is called Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World. We just jumped off of that book title and called it Getting Ahead. The first 19 weeks is the curriculum. And then we have a formal graduation ceremony. And for some of our folks, that's their very first graduation ever. It's a huge moment for them and their families. We then offer 6 sessions of financial literacy classes which we partner with a local credit union, but they go beyond and have an open door policy for all the graduates to come in and start working on budgeting, building their credit score, how to get a loan for a better vehicle, or even to get a vehicle so you can get a job. After financial literacy classes 4 years ago, graduates would say, "Well, Rose, what more do you have to offer?" And so we decided we would offer nutrition and wellness. So we're getting ahead with nutrition. And we modeled it after Penn State Extension's Nutrition Links, but we sort of expanded it to include our children. And we serve senior citizens. So now we're able to offer nutrition and wellness to everybody. Our graduates still wanted more. And so now we offer Staying Ahead workshops forever. They can pick and choose a topic that they may want to come to, and it's just a wonderful reunion.
This is so impressive. Are you a teacher?
I spent 33 years with Head Start programming.
Wonderful program, and you're kind of molding it for adults too and helping them out. Why was it you, Rose Williams, that decided to create a foundation to help others out?
I think it was because of my Head Start experience. I began to see generations coming back through the Head Start program. And I thought, there's a lot of pieces to this poverty puzzle. What other pieces are out there to offer to families? And because I'm looking, I have acquired, I can't even tell you how many great community partners. We all work together. It's that great networking, I think, that is giving folks that are low income a hands up.
Why can't we clone you, Rose? This is a beautiful idea. How did it start?
When my career was coming to an end, I really wasn't ready to stop. You know, evaluating my passions, my expertise, how can I put them to use for a better community? And so I thought, I need to do something. I'm put here on this earth for a purpose. And I believe this is my purpose. And apparently it is.
This is very moving to me, how you saw the need and you took action. Many times people are afraid to step forward and they don't know exactly how to go about it.
Well, I think number one, you need to start with passion. But I reached out to the community to see, are there any other nonprofits doing anything similar? Word of mouth had spread and we ran for 5 years on volunteers alone. Yes, volunteers alone.
Wow.
And we need a lot of volunteers because we provide a meal before our group. It's about nutrition, but it's about removing barriers for attendance. All these things just came together. I think my years of Head Start, this is the demographic that I know and love and have watched them be marginalized for decades. And if they can't have a voice, I will be that voice for them.
One person with an idea that helped an entire community. Thank you, Rose Williams of the Getting Ahead Foundation in Central Pennsylvania. Hear the full story on our podcast, wvia.org/communityconnection. I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
Find the full episode of Community Connections at wvia.org. So, what are your plans for the weekend? If your answer is no idea, my colleague Haley O'Brien might be able to help you out. This week, she heard from the Junior League of Scranton about a health and wellness fair. Let's join them now for Haley's Happy Hour.
I'm Haley O'Brien. This is Haley's Happy Hour, a weekly segment from WVIA News, featuring interviews about upcoming events. A health and wellness fair this weekend will provide an opportunity to connect with local healthcare providers and learn about resources. Today, I'm joined by Elizabeth McLean from the Junior League of Scranton. To get us started, tell me about the Junior League of Scranton. What is that?
The Junior League of Scranton is a women's organization that is committed to the empowerment of women and the training to volunteerism in efforts to promote our community and make it a better place.
Okay, and this year will be the first time you're hosting this health and wellness fair. Tell me why this group wanted to do that.
We spend a lot of time taking a look at our community and our community's needs. And one of the needs that we have become more aware of are health outcomes and disparities amongst all of our different communities within the greater Scranton community. So we thought a health and wellness fair would be a great way to bring our community members together, but also bring vendors together to make connections of all sorts amongst people.
So this Saturday, there will be several vendors there. Tell me a little bit about what this event is going to look like.
This event is going to be a very busy event with kids' activities. We have many different vendors. Some of those vendors include Marywood. They are bringing their nutrition department along. We also have Wilkes University Pharmacy Department. We also have Maternal Family Health Services. We have some mental health services, including CB Counseling and NAMI, which are both local organizations. And we also have some community organizations. We have a new community organization called Build an Athlete that works to provide sports equipment for kids in the community.
Wow, I didn't know about that. That's interesting. Health affects all of us. We all have to take care of our health and all those things you mentioned. I can think of things that I should probably look into or, you know, could learn about. Is there an ideal candidate that you think would benefit from this event on Saturday?
We really think any community member would be a great fit. Again, the event is being held from 12 to 3 at Scranton High School, which is 63 Mike Munchak Way, and the event is free.
And there are a lot of events happening around the region this weekend. NEPA's Got Talent will be held Sunday at 2 o'clock at the FM Kirby Center. Also in Wilkes-Barre, an opportunity to mini-golf through the Oosterhout Free Library. Here's Michelle Riley, Director of Development and Community Relations.
Golfers are going to enter at the library, check in at our registration desk, and then all the 18 holes kind of weave through the whole library, through the first floor, up to the second floor, back down through the children's department, and then our 18th hole is usually set up right in the children's department.
There are two separate mini golf events this weekend, one for adults only on Saturday night. Putters 21 and older will get two drink tickets along with the $20 fee to play.
We have a variety of beers to offer, and we're going to have a mixed drink option. This is the first year we're adding the adult night component, just as a way to boost our fundraising and try to add a different element to the event.
On Sunday, a family-friendly event will welcome people of all ages to try their hand at mini golf and a chance at the $500 hole-in-one challenge. Both events are fundraisers for children's programming at the Oosterhout Free Library. This has been Haley's Happy Hour from WVIA News. I'm Haley O'Brien.
All right, time to get the weekend started. I certainly hope you're feeling up to date. Find these stories and more throughout the weekend at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me here on Up to Date this week. We'll be back on Monday, so if you like what you hear, remember to subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you like to get your podcasts, or right at WVIA.org. While you're there, you might as well subscribe to the WVIA News Notes newsletter too. You'll get all the local stories you need to know right to your inbox every Tuesday and Friday morning. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you Monday here on Up to Date.